But if you turn to Exodus chapter 14, our text today is actually Exodus 12, 21 through 23, till I see the blood. But if you, I want to start in Exodus 14, verse 10 through 12. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. That's an incredible statement to me. And I've never understood that. I don't have that. Whatever that is not in me. I don't think it's in most. And I'm speaking as Texans, but I'm sure some others. And I don't understand, especially among the Jews, why I never could understand when I see that why they lined up to get in cattle cars. I mean, they far outnumbered the guys that were lining them up, and then they lined up to go in gas chambers. I can say from reading, I'd take my chances in the wilderness. As Americans, and especially Texans, I believe that some of us are endued with the spirit of freedom. I saw an interesting word when they were in bondage in Egypt. I don't know if you know this, but the Hebrew word for bondage is serpents. It's very interesting to me, especially in line with the government that we now have. But I like to think, like the old cigarette commercial, we'd rather fight than switch. I call it the Alamo spirit. Those of us in Texas, I had a one-word witness here on this place many years ago of the Alamo. And when they conquered the Egyptians coming out and they crossed the Red Sea, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, I believe I texted this to some of you this past week. Moses, they sang this song, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Amen? Amen. The man of war. Nobody preaches that. They only preach that he's a God of peace. But he's also a man of war. And we know from 2 Thessalonians 1, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God. I would that man would know the God of the Bible. That's why there's no fear of God before anyone's eyes. This God of war. Was there not war in heaven? In heaven. Before this book, they were fighting a war, you see. Now, what does the enemy cry in the Bible? Peace. Peace, you see. But I can tell you that this is a bloody book. Read it. And so as such, of course, I'm going to preach on the blood this morning. You and I are not saved by peace. Our so-called eternal freedom out of the bondage of serpents did not come by peace, but by blood. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews, there is no remission of sin. So a foretelling of that is our text, which is Exodus chapter 12, 21 through 23. And then Moses called all the elders, for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike it on the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in under your houses to smite you. The everlasting story, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's my story. As he said, this is my story and this is my song, praising my Savior. 50 years ago, I was thinking about this. These words ring true to me because 50 years ago in a Bible Baptist church in Angeli City on the island of Luzon, the Republic of the Philippines, I heard this very story. I still remember the fellow's name, Brother Bill Anderson. And I can see him up there in the front of that church, and he's going about portraying, applying this blood. And I can just see him. But today, very little is spoken of the blood. 50 years ago, I'm not sure I've heard a dozen sermons on the blood in the past 50 years. 50 years. Very little spoken on the blood. We've become, which the enemy wants, a bloodless religion. But if you have a bloodless religion, you have a Christless religion. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And even the most fundamental of sects now declaring that the blood of Christ is but symbolic. We've spoken of this many times. I can say assuredly that the blood on those posts and lintel was not symbolic. This is not a symbolic book, nor was Calvary symbolic, nor anything about it symbolic. If you look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Christ, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, you either believe he did that or you don't. Most, matter of fact, so-called scholars, evangelicals, no longer believe that. I think that's a horrible thing. If you look in Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How do we get forgiven from sins? His blood. And then you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, through his blood. If that blood has not been applied to you, then you're none of his. It's as simple as that. God the Father must every bit see that blood as he did that blood in Exodus, in our text. He must see that blood to pass over you. Religion that's based solely upon symbolism and emotion is just that. It's symbolism and emotion. And here lies the difference between those that are truly born again. And now listen, those that only imagine such. And that's the great deception. And I can see that thing. Because there are a lot of things and a lot of ways to preach that you can convince people that they're born again. There's a problem with that. They've probably never been born again. They imagine such. Any wonder the mantra of the day is what? Identity. I identify. We've got that in our so-called Christianity. I identify as born again. I identify as a Christian. identify as a Baptist, identify as a Catholic, whatever, a Methodist. You know, one definition of mysticism is confusion of thought. And boy, the devil, he's a master of that. I saw this week, I was surprised, I shouldn't be, that toy manufacturers are going broke. The manufacturers that make real toys. Do I have that toy airplane still sitting up there, I think? Okay. I showed Melissa last night, I had a... of all the toys I had when I was their age, I had a plastic submarine. And it's the only toy I remember. And I remembered how you fired the torpedoes. And I looked at it, I found it. Ideal made it in the 50s. I had this toy submarine. And it was my favorite toy. I could shoot my brother with it. It's great. And so I had this toy. So the toy manufacturers are going broke. You know why? Because children don't play with toys anymore. Everything is electronic. Virtual. We just saw that. Electronic, you see. They no longer want to hold a truck and push it around the floor. It's all here on this cell phone. I read this morning that Tiger Woods and his boy Charlie, they're playing in a golf tournament. And Tiger said he only has one problem with that boy. That boy is 14 years old. He said his head's always down, looking at his phone. And he said, I wish that he would look at the world around him. Listen, I go into my office, my place of business, and their head's down. And they're all looking at a telephone. Life is a movie or a video game. It's all virtual, all up here. We just saw a picture of that. All up here in their head, not in their hands. Not in their hands. Consider a world with no hands people, no farmers, carpenters, no tradesmen, craftsmen, mechanics, cooks. And today, we have a religion with no blood, you see. No praying with our feet. Our faith chapter, Hebrews 11. It's all about people that prayed with their feet. You know? Abraham not knowing where he was going. Noah building the ark. Praying with their feet. Praying with their feet. And these things, just like our text, we must do these things. We must do these things. Praying with our feet. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, in verse 24, he said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. This is something, this is something that had to be done, something that has to be done. When? Today. We must do. If you go back to our text, Exodus chapter 12. We read verse 21 through verse 24. If you look at verse 20, Moses said, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. And that's something that they had to do. They had to eat unleavened bread. Just like us having to crucify the affections and lust of our flesh. A daily battle of thoughts. If you tell me you've conquered the thought battle, I know you're lying. Because you wonder, where do these thoughts come from? Here I am, a blood-washed, born-again child of God, and this thought comes to mind, and this thought comes to mind. So we have to crucify these things. Cast it out. This is not my salvation. This is not our salvation. This is our life. my flesh still desires. Doesn't your flesh still desire? Wish I hadn't eaten that much. You know, we look at that cake in there. It'd be easy to go past. And then you go, oh, man. Wish I'd only had one piece. You see? I yet suffer pain. I don't know about you. I don't need a reminder that I'm yet mortal. Because I live in this battlefield, this body. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as we spoke, he was tempted in all like manner as me. And then when his passion was coming, he said, Lord, to God the Father, if it be possible. Now, if he said that, if Jesus said that, let the cup pass from me, please, if it be possible. And Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. He sought the Lord three times. Tempted? Yep. Just as Christ. And if you know not the significance and the power, and I mean the power of this blood, not symbolically, you can be none of his. Because without that, you can't accomplish this. When I see the blood, are we not healed by his stripes? Are we not saved by his blood? When I see the blood. You know, blood's called, it's the life of the body. That's what blood is. It's the life of the body. I was near lifeless once. I was 8 pints low. I'm told there's not much more than that in the human body. But my blood won't save me. Took someone else's blood in the natural. This is it would in the spiritual, in life, in the spiritual realm, eternal life, it took Christ's blood, took someone else's to save. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no remission of sins. And the Bible says he washed us from our sins. How did our sins go away? He washed us in his own blood. Though our sins be as scarlet, the book of Isaiah, they should be washed white as snow. The blood is the difference. It's the life. Many believe, I being one of them, that first Adam had no blood, as you and I have blood. And that Christ, after his resurrection, had no blood. It mentioned he was but flesh and bone. But this sinful body in which we now reside requires blood. And to have eternal life, life after this life, requires blood, the blood of Christ. Mortal, eternal, it's still the blood. You note in our text, he said you'll take a bunch of hyssop. Not just a few drops, not a little blood. And he said dip it in the basin. We don't kill things anymore. You know, when you I haven't done it in some years, but when I'd take a deer and I'd hang him up, and I'd hang him by the rear feet and bleed him, and that blood would come down in that bucket, you see. The life is in the blood. Dip it in the blood that's in the basin. The death angel's coming. I just saw, I got a text this morning. I started, I haven't, I say a text, an email, and it's on the day of the Lord. The death angel is coming. The Passover. And there was something about this, and it has to do with our walk and the crucifixion of these desires of the flesh and such. He said, eat or consume. And if you can't, burn it all. Burn it all. You remember he said, if your right eye offend thee, and if your right, left, whatever, take it. You cannot start your journey until this be completed. This right here, our text. He said in verse 24, and ye shall observe the thing for an ordinance to thee, and to thy sons forever. It shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. Even these children, the blood. And in this ye shall know the God of the Bible. Now, when I read this book, I don't know how it is with others, but it comes alive to me. And the end of this part of Scripture, it said, God smote the firstborn of Egypt. How old were they?
0 to 100.
They were all ages. From babies, firstborn, children, adolescents, grown men, old men, firstborn. And they all died. If you believe all children go to heaven, you don't know the God of the Bible, nor the significance of the blood that was shed for the remission of sins. And you have to know that. I used to have a missionary, and he'd argue with me when God opened the pit and he took the children of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and he took them into the pit. And he said, that can't possibly mean they went to hell. Well, you think these firstborn went to heaven? That'd be a contradiction of Christ himself. And that's the significance of the blood. And that's the significance of the Passover. And finally in verse 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Not a house. By the blood. When I see the blood, God said, I'll pass over you.